Well, as Pastor Aaron said, I am Pastor Sarah Friesen-Carper. I serve the Synod as Assistant to the Bishop for Congregational and Leadership Excellence. One of the major joys of my life recently has been to come here and to work with your call committee. Let me commend you on a wonderful job of choosing faithful and loyal people, people who have dedicated themselves to listening to God's voice and discerning the next pastor of this place. Well done, you. I bring you greetings from Bishop Satterlee, from the other Synod staff, from the other 117 ELCA congregations in our Synod, and from the more than 40,000 Lutherans in our state. One of the major joys in my call is that I get to visit congregations like yours across our Synod. And it's so fun to see and to experience the energy of what God is doing in our midst all across the state. I loved watching the video clips before worship today to see the incredible things that you all do as the body of Christ. It's really a beautiful thing. Today I am wearing the Synod Cross. This was a gift from Pastor Phelps, who was at Gethsemane Lutheran Church in Wyoming for a long time. And he gave it to the Synod. It's made of all of the stones around it. When we shake hands after worship, you'll have to get a closer look. It's made of stones from all over Michigan. So you'll see in here the Petoskey stone and an agate. I learned recently that there's one that's a green stone that they find in copper mines. One is called Michigan marble. The other two, I don't know what they are, so if you're a geologist, you can tell me what they are. All of these stones are from Michigan, and so we talk about how just as each of these stones is unique and beautiful, so are our congregations, unique and beautiful. But together, we are pulled together by the cross of Christ to do the work of the Synod, the work of God in this state. In the center is an emerald from Brazil, which reminds us that we're also united with people all over the world. And it was a gift from a pastor who has joined the saints in heaven. And so we are reminded that we are all one in the body of Christ. I like to say that because sometimes we get the feeling that we're out here on our own, out here just kind of doing our own thing without connections with others. So I want you to know you are not alone, that you are connected, that you are part of this network of congregations and of Christians across the state and around the world. Now, I've been invited to talk with you today about stewardship because today is your consecration Sunday. I think it's really wise for your stewardship committee to invite an outsider to come talk about money, because then you can take all of the stewardship angst that you might have and just direct it at me, and I'll just carry it with me right out the door. You don't have to put it on your pastors. You don't have to put it on a friend. You just put it all on me. I'll carry it with me when I leave. So that money is still one of the most taboo topics, right? You can't talk about politics, religion, sex, or money. We don't ask people how much they make, right? We don't tell people how much we make. And we don't ask people what they give, and we don't talk about what we give. So when I was in elementary school, I was in second or third grade, one of the ways that we girls would torment the boys was to request that we sing the song Magic Penny in music class. Do any of you know this song? Oh, allow me. Yes, some of you know it. Allow me to share it with you. Love is something if you give it away, give it away, give it away. Love is something if you give it away, you end up having more. It's just like a magic penny, hold it tight and you won't have any. Lend it, spend it, and you'll have so many, they'll roll all over the floor. For Love is something if you give it away, give it away, give it away. Love is something if you give it away, you end up having more. Oh, very nice. Such quick studies. All right. I think the boys didn't like it because it was about love. I'm not saying anything about boys. Just that's how they were in my second grade class. I'm now married to a boy who likes love, so it's great. anyway, so some of you know this song. The theme verses from 2 Corinthians today reminded me of this song. The point is this, Paul says, the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly God's work. When we hold tight, gripping the things that God has given us, when we hoard our possessions, when we approach life with this clenched fist, then we really have very little. You can't fit very much inside a clenched fist. But when we use what God has given us, when we share our possessions, when we approach life with an open hand, then somehow we end up with an abundance. It seems to me that when it comes to our money, our time and our talents too, but particularly our money, our primary approach, or at least our instinctive approach, is not cheerful, open-handed giving. I think when it comes to money, our impulse really is to worry. We're either worrying about what to do with the surplus, worrying about our lack. My husband, and I don't think he's alone in this, literally stays awake at night making charts and Excel spreadsheets, tracking all of our spending to figure out, I'm seeing people give other people dirty looks, tracking how we might be able to spend less and save more and get out of debt as soon as possible. I'm thankful for this, by the way. But what we do when we worry is that we hold things tight. So, time for a personal story. I know we're not supposed to share our personal stories about money, but I'm going to break that taboo and invite you to consider breaking that taboo for yourself as well. So, some of you know that clergy taxes are a little bit weird, right? We're kind of like self-employed people. So there's no taxes that are withheld from our accounts. So we pay either quarterly amounts or we pay a huge sum at the end of the month. I had been used to doing my own taxes, the easy form. I was in seminary. I made no money. Like, you just fill out the thing and they send you some money back. It's great. When I started my first call, this was about 7 years ago, I thought I could just continue doing my own taxes. It can't possibly be that hard, right? So the short version of this story is that I did them wrong for like 4 years in a row. Yeah. And I ended up owing the IRS a lot of money. And I freaked out, as you might imagine, and I worried, and my fists just clenched. I had been a regular tither. I had given 10% of my income off the top to my church just without even thinking about it. But I decided that until I got these taxes paid off, I was going to stop doing that. I decided my priority was to pay off the government because they could put me in jail. So I told my financial recording secretary, and I told my treasurer and my finance team chair, but I didn't tell anyone else in church. I just stopped giving my 10%. I was really embarrassed. It was embarrassing to have made this kind of huge mistake. But I was even more embarrassed about not giving to my church anymore. So over time, I made this discovery around tax time. So 6-ish months later, I found that I was feeling really cut off. I was feeling cut off from God. I was feeling cut off from my community at church. I felt cut off from God because what had been so important, giving this tithe, was now just out of my life. It was just gone. And I realized that I wasn't practicing what I preached, literally. Not being totally honest with my congregation. Not trusting that God would see me through this difficult time. I wasn't modeling faithful living. And in general, I went from being all in my relationship with God, all in my relationship with the community, to being kind of in, kind of out. So I decided to come clean with God and with the whole community. And on our Stewardship Sunday in October, I decided to tell my story to the congregation. And I decided to start back up on my 10% tithe and trust that God would take care of my needs. So I gave my stewardship sermon and I came clean. I confessed my sins to my congregation. And I ended by laying my first check in 6 months and my commitment card in the offering plate. That year, our giving increased quite a bit. This was a small congregation. So out of 60 families, where we had about 30 that were pledgers, that means they filled out the commitment card, we went up to about 45. I'm not saying that it was because of my story, but I do think that there are a couple of things that I would take away from this. The first one is that it's okay to talk about money. Jesus talked about money a lot, all the time, really. And they talk about money throughout Scripture. It's okay, in fact, it's good to talk about our experiences with money, our struggles with money, the difficulty of balancing all the tugs at our checking accounts and our savings accounts. Most of us are willing to talk about the quilting we do for Lutheran World Relief, or the building we do for Habitat for Humanity, or the visiting the sick we do. Why not talk about the way that we express our faith in money as well? Why not be honest about the struggles you have with tithing? Why not talk about the grace you feel when you turn over your life and your checkbook to God? I think if we did, we would find ourselves growing closer to one another and closer with God. The second thing I learned is that when my hand is open to God, God blesses me with enough. I paid back all of my taxes. I still had food to eat. I still paid rent. I still had clothes to wear. I could still buy gas for the car. And I even still supported other worthy causes. I found that it affected my relationships at church and it affected my relationship with God. When I stopped giving, I looked out on the world and saw less than enough. I saw a lack. When I went from being a cheerful giver to being a worried giver, I didn't look out on the world and see abundance. I saw lacking. And this is where that magic penny thing comes back in. When we hoard things like money, we begin to believe that there's not enough to go around. That there's not enough money for this, there's not enough money for that, there's not enough money for these important causes. And then we start to look at other things that way too, like love. We start to think that there's not enough love to go around, our own love or even God's love. And that means pretty soon we're making lists of people that we can care about and people that we can't care about. I think that we want to believe that our giving at church is a personal matter. It's just between me and God. And we like to think that what we do with our money is not about faithfulness. These are myths. What you give to your church is not only between you and God. It's part of your responsibility and your relationship with the people sitting next to you and around you in this congregation. It's a matter of faith. You know that song, We Are an Offering? Are we singing that today? I don't know. That song, We Are an Offering, these words are true. All that we have, all that we are, all that we hope to be, we give to God. Because all that we have and all that we are and all that we hope to be already belongs to God. Through the love of God in Christ Jesus, we are loved and claimed we are special, like we talked about with the children. So with God, who will provide you every blessing in abundance, how can we not also share abundantly? So later on in the service, you're going to be invited to fill out your commitment card and to lay it on the altar as a gift to God. I invite you, as we sing together and we pray and we share the meal at the Lord's table, to take some time to pray and to ask God how you might be invited to boldly step out in faith and make a commitment to your community here. Consider your faith community. Consider these brothers and sisters with whom you gather every week. And consider those all around the world. And then consider the one we worship, the one whose life and death and resurrection make us children of God and heirs of God's kingdom. And then answer, as 2 Corinthians said, with a grand thanks be to God. Amen.